Hey, true believers, it's that time you've been waiting for. Gather around your iPod, radio, or whatever you're listening to, for Mitch and John are about to go into the power cosmic. Sit back and listen to comic books, toys, movies, and more with those two guys that've got nothing better to do but talk about the stuff that you love. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wake the neighbors, phone the kids. It's time for the Power Cosmic Podcast. Hello, comic book fans. It's your old pal, Mitch Halleck, here from the Power Cosmic Podcast with a brief introduction of what happened in today's episode. John and I were scouring the Nutmeg State, looking for comic books, toys, and strange matter, when we heard the words flea market. John went crazy, said we have to go. So we put in the GPS, and we headed for the flea market. Along the way, we talked about the greatest superhero show of the 1970s and early 80s. No, it wasn't Wonder Woman or Spider-Man. It was The Incredible Hulk, starring Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno, Friday night, 8 o'clock, CBS. John went crazy. When I said that Ted Cassidy, Lurch from Adam's Family, was the original Incredible Hulk, but had to leave the show because of troubles with the makeup. John quickly said, no, you're wrong. It's the giant guy that played Shark in the James Bond movies, Richard Kiel, who recently passed away. I started to yell at John that there was no character called Shark in the James Bond films, and he meant Jaws. John went insane, slapped the recording device out of my hand, and we lost the introduction. So what you will hear now is what happens after that incident, as we talk about The Incredible Hulk. Enjoy.
All right, everybody, we're going to do a quick one, possibly. Right here, it's Mitch and John back on the Power Cosmic Podcast. This is your co-host, Mitch Halleck. Sorry about that commercial break. We just took an uneventful trip to a flea market looking for lost treasure, right?
And the only thing that was lost was us.
Yeah. Well, pick up here. Now, you're watching the Hulk. Oh, he's telling me, wait. I got you, Chief. So, what happened? Your mom let you see it?
Yeah, she let me see the Hulk. I mean, we got to talk about, like, Universal. I mean, Marvel at that time was licensing off a bunch of characters for live action events. One was the Human Torch, yep. The Submariner, the Hulk, Spider-Man, and I think She-Hulk, if I'm correct.
The legend is that they only made the She-Hulk because they had to make a property, or they needed to have a book or something?
No.
They rushed to get this done?
Well, what happened really was the reason why Spider-Woman and the She-Hulk were made was because Spider-Man and the Hulk were popular at that time during the 70s, and they didn't want other companies to maybe do knockoffs of those characters.
So
She-Hulk and Spider-Woman were derivatives of that.
They came out almost the same time. We're talking 77, 78, right?
Yep.
I remember getting those books because the kids were like, I don't want to read Spider-Woman. Jessica Drew was the Spider-Woman, and Jessica Walters was the Bruce Banner's cousin.
Yeah, the She-Hulk.
The She-Hulk, who was a lawyer by day and becomes the She-Hulk because was she shot and her Bruce Banner having to get blood transfusion?
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, but why did she need the blood transfusion? Do you remember?
Because she was losing blood.
Yeah, and, but why, most people
I think she was
blood.
Shot.
Yeah.
She was into some shady shit.
He just happened to be in town, coincidentally, and he said, here, let me do an impromptu blood transfusion because I happen to have needles on me and tubes. I mean, it was really odd that you think about it.
But the real cool thing was that Bruce Banner vowed never to do that again, to, like, transfer his blood to anybody.
So he knowingly gave her blood knowing that she was going to Hulk out.
Perhaps.
And it was maybe because they had similar bloodlines that it worked and she didn't die of radiation?
No, yeah, they had the similar blood type.
Yes, yeah, but what about Spider-Woman? Now, that's a character I never really understood, because she can actually fly, right?
Glide.
Now, how did she get her powers, do you recall?
Some experiment or something. You know, she was actually...
AIM thing. Was a Hydra?
Was she introduced first? No.
As a detective, right?
No, it was something like that, because remember she was in the cartoon? Do you remember the cartoon?
Wait, you mean Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends?
No, Spider-Woman.
There was a Spider-Woman cartoon. Oh, I don't...
I have the whole thing. You don't have? You don't
know? I remember it being on, but I think it only lasted one season, maybe 13. It wasn't very...
Yeah, 13 episodes.
So you're saying that came... The comic book came off of the Marvel cartoon. What came first?
I think... No. The character from the comic first.
All right. And then, yeah. Short-lived series.
But during that cartoon, they put out the Spider-Woman actual comic series.
Yes, at absolutely. That time,
coincide with that. Because her first appearance, I think, was like in Marvel Spotlight or something.
I remember the cover was black and she's red and yellow dress.
And she doesn't have her hair showing.
No, that's right. She had that the bathing cap, I was called, the hiding the thing. I don't know. I didn't like it back then. I wasn't a fan. Were you?
No, not really. I just thought it was a knockoff of Spider-Man. I was like, I want the real thing. And what are girls doing in comic books?
And actually, years later, they made Spider-Girl, who was Peter Parker's...
That was Tom daughter. DeFalco, correct? And Ron Frenz?
And Ron Frenz created the character, and the costume was drawn by Mark Bagley. He came up with the design of it. But that was a much more put-together story. It had ties to Spider-Man. He lost his arm, or was it his leg, Peter Parker? He was a security guard.
It was in a what-if, wasn't it?
It wasn't a what-if, but then it spun off into its own series.
Correct.
And he married Mary Jane, and the daughter's name was Mayday Parker. He named her after Aunt May.
Which is a great name.
And it lasted for a long time. It was very popular.
It actually did. I don't know how or why, but it actually did.
Well, I actually was reading some of it, and I'm a big burly
And then
guy.
It came to that alternate universe where A-Next and that girl, Captain America, that you just got.
That's where she's from. I thought you were going to say... the Star Brand.
American Dream.
The Marvel New Universe. Remember that in the 80s? Oh, yeah.
Oh, Star Brand and DP7.
DP7. Yeah, no. Sorry for those people that are trying to listen to this and saying this is an insane podcast because they're all over the place. And I try to say it's the power cosmic speaking through us. It channels its energy like we're its host, right?
And we're new heralds of Galactus.
We're new heralds, and that's why
for better or for worse.
Exactly. So we're going to try to get back on track and talk what we were talking about. But real quick, we were talking about the Hulk. The Hulk lasted. Bill Bixby, I knew Bill Bixby as a kid from a show called The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
Fantastic show. My favorite, Martian.
I never watched that, but I do remember he was on that too. But Bill, and he was in some Elvis movies.
Yeah.
With Batgirl, no less.
Yeah. And
Yvonne Craig.
Funny thing, yes, she was in that. That was a Speedway.
Yes.
But wait, a really funny story with Speedway, because I was already watching The Hulk.
I thought it was Kissing Cousins, but anyway.
No, that was Speedway, because they were race car drivers.
Bill Bixby and Elvis.
Yeah, and Bill Bixby was the asshole.
Yeah, right.
But when I was a kid watching that, I was already watching the Hulk live action series.
So he was the hero.
But when I saw Elvis punch out Bill Bixby on the commercial,
you were hoping he was going to Hulk out.
I thought he was. I was like,
Imagine that.
I was like,
that
oh my God,
so awesome.
The Hulk is going to fight Elvis.
Oh my God, that is awesome. We should get Jimmy Gambino. Oh, I don't know names here. Maybe he should get somebody to paint a print of Hulk and Elvis fighting.
That would be Jesus
and Bruce Lee in the background.
And Elvis
on velvet.
And Elvis has that like his racer suit on.
Oh my
too.
God, yeah.
That would
Oh yeah, great. With the helmet and maybe it's stuck on his head.
But I really saw that when I was a kid and I saw that commercial. I could not believe. I was like, "Oh my God, Elvis is going to fight the Hulk cuz Elvis of course knocks out Bill Bixby."
Of course. Yeah.
Who would But
we're all over the place. Go back to the show. I said I was disappointed that the Hulk didn't talk. And it was always the same thing. Bruce Banner, actually David Banner, because they didn't go by the name Bruce because of some weird...
No, homosexual thing.
That's back in the day.
And even Stanley was pissed about that, but that's why they let him call him Dr. Robert Bruce Banner.
No, David Bruce Banner.
Yeah, David Bruce Banner.
Actually Stan has a role in this because in the Avengers meets the Fantastic Four back in the 60s, I think it was issue 13 or whatever it was, they fought them and the Hulk lands in the water and
it's number three, Avengers 3.
And he writes Dr. Bob Banner turns back, or the Hulk turns back into Dr. Bob Banner, and the kids wrote in immediately and said, "What are you talking about? His name is Bruce Banner."
Stanley also put in, we got to go get Superman. He put instead of Spider-Man. So those are the mistakes. So don't use that as canon.
Well, I'm just saying, so it was quickly resolved that, his name is Robert Bruce Banner. Or Bruce Robert Banner.
No, Robert Bruce Banner.
Right, so when they came time to do the TV show, why they didn't go with Robert? They called him David, and they made Bruce his middle name.
They said Bruce was too homosexual.
But there was Bruce Springsteen, there was Bruce Lee.
Yeah, but this is 78, 79.
Hey, that was the stupidest thing. I always heard that. I didn't know if that was true or not. I'm like, that's why they changed his name? Because of a connotation?
But, people give Stan Lee a bad rap, but he's the one who fought for Bruce to be in that. He's the one who fought for the Hulk to be green.
But you already had Bruce Wayne. I mean, they didn't change his name.
But Kenneth also thought... Kenneth Johnson also thought that he couldn't stand Stan Lee's names. Bruce Banner, Peter Parker, Reed Richards.
It was all the alliteration.
Right.
Stan did it because he said it was easier for him to remember.
Absolutely. But Kenneth thought it would kind of stupid, but those were the reasons
That's why it changed.
Yeah, well...
And then, like I said, going back to the show, every episode's the same. He's on the run, he falls into a town, he helps somebody out, there's a bully in town, they push him around, he hulks out once before the first half hour, it was like right around 20 minutes in.
Correct.
And then the story develops, and then now you got Jack McGee, the intrepid reporter.
Who was so fearsome. I mean, like, God, even when you were when you were a kid and he was close by, you were like, oh my God, he's gonna see him!
Jack Colvis was the actor's name or something?
I think he was a comedian.
Oh, I don't know, but he would always scare the hell out of me when he'd show up. I'd go, watch out, here he comes! It's a reporter!
And what
was the reporter really going to do? He wasn't a cop, he wasn't a detective, he wasn't an FBI agent, he was a reporter.
It worked, man.
I know, and then so what happened is he would get involved with whatever the crisis, and he'd save the day, and then they'd beat him up at the end, and he'd say the immortal lines, John, make me angry. Come on.
Yeah. Don't make me angry.
Why?
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
And then what would happen? The shirt would rip.
Awesome.
The shoes would explode. Not the socks, but the shoes. I never said why the socks didn't stretch. And he would run out. And there were sometimes when you'd watch that show, you'd see Lou Ferrigno's wearing slippers.
Yeah, yeah.
Really
bumped. But when you were a kid, I didn't see that. Or you'd see his fingers show up. Like, you could see the smudge.
The flesh through it.
The smush.
And the fright wig always bugged me. The hair, I never liked that hair. What'd you think of the Hulk?
See, I was too young to really...
criticize?
Yeah, really criticize or anything. It just was so unbelievable to me.
You were watching the Hulk,
and,
right?
Yeah. But there was an interesting thing. I would get so crazy about it. I don't know if anybody remembers the Remco Hulk instant muscles.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you pumped them up. They were like plastic fake muscles.
Yeah, it was basically like a float. Yeah, I did have that.
Like
but
a float. like a life jacket.
Yeah, a life jacket. That's basically what it was. Yeah. But when I was a kid and I would watch it, I'd be wearing my tough skin jeans. Now, let's just going to show you how obsessed I got with the Hulk.
Made tough skins,
right? Yeah. You know, it had like those pads.
Yeah,
so you didn't rip them at the knees.
Tough skins.
So I... You wore Huskies.
I wore Huskies, that's right.
but I would wear the tough skins and I would cut them. Now, mind you, I would run through my neighborhood with no shirt, no shoes, and I would run up and down. It was awful.
Were they purple?
No. They were red. Yeah, red, blue.
I had red pants. We had red pants for some reason as kids.
But the neighborhood girls, I lived amongst a lot of girls, and they used to play house and stuff, and they wouldn't want to play with me because I'd always be the Hulk, and I'd always run around, and the Hulk always running. But... when I would watch them on Fridays at 8 o'clock, I'd watch the show, I would put the Hulk instant muscles around me. And while Bruce Banner was changing into the Hulk, I would pump them up.
In front of you. Let's get the visual. Yeah. You're standing in front of a TV.
Big TV.
Shirt on.
Yeah.
This plastic life jacket thing.
Yes.
And you're pumping furiously.
With my tough skin jeans that were cut. I cut them with scissors.
Scissors. And you're pumping furiously.
While he's changing.
To get, and you had, to reach your climax.
And we both go, together.
Now, flash forward 20, 30 years later. I don't even want to get the visual of you standing in front of a TV screen pumping furiously as you try to Hulk out.
But
the innocence of children, it was a magic time, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And I'm going to say this.
What?
Watching it today, it still holds up today.
Hold on.
But the Lou Ferrigno part is horrible. It's all about Bill Bixby's acting.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal actor.
He was good. He was very...
When's the last time you watched one, Mitchie?
I tried to watch a $6 Million Man a couple weeks ago.
No, no, that's different. They're not as good of an actor as Bill.
No,
Bill Bixby makes you believe.
Yeah.
But Bill Bixby was, and I'm going to say this now: Bill Bixby, the second greatest superhero
actor.
What do you call them? Like
alter what?
Yeah, no, an actor. But
an
like,
actor. That's what I call him.
What would you say? Like he's the second. Like he's the best casting. Excuse me, the best casting for a superhero ever.
Next
but the
to
second
to Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker.
No,
what?
Christopher Reeve's Superman.
Oh, Christopher Reeve's Superman.
And then number three, I'll give
Chris
it to Robert. Robert
Downey Jr. as Tony Stark.
Yes, and then Chris
not the Tony Stark I remembered as a kid, because as a kid, Iron Man sucked. I mean, he was not.
He was always a DC character to me.
He's a guy in a suit. Who
cares? Never liked him.
Never did. And it was always, when I was little, he had the bad heart, and he'd always had to charge himself to get the thing to work. Remember that?
I hated Iron Man.
Nobody liked Iron Man. If you got a book and Iron Man was in it, you'd roll your eyes. You were like, oh, come on.
I would only get Iron Man comics if the Hulk appeared or something.
Well, I would get the 2-for-1. Remember there's like Tales of Suspense? And they'd reprint, like, Cap would be on one side.
Yeah, but that was a bunch, way before my time.
No, but they reprinted. It was called Marvel 2-for-1s.
No, yeah, that was still before my time.
It was in the 70s.
I didn't collect in the 70s.
I did not
collect comics until they were 60 cents a piece. So we're talking the 80s.
Yeah, we're definitely talking the 80s here. And where are we on this whole thing? We were talking about the Hulk, and we're all over the place now.
Well, let's talk about an episode. Do you remember the first? The first episode, it was a two-parter where he fought the old Hulk?
Yeah, that was played by the guy that played Jaws that we just talked about earlier.
No, that was played by the guy that played the Swamp Thing.
Dick Durock?
Yes, it was Dick Durock.
Dick Durock was the old Hulk?
And this is how he yelled. Now, right, remember.
Yeah!
No.
Yeah.
Hold on.
And then they fought each other.
But he was scary as shit.
Oh, my God. He was scarier than the Lou Ferrigno one. He was bigger, too, wasn't
he? Mitch, you got to do it with your arms, because remember...
Yeah.
No.
What? And the visual, I know it's a podcast.
You sound like Frankenstein.
You can't see this, but John is in my car right now, going, yeah.
No, not yeah. That's Frankenstein.
Got a little roll going on there with the rah, like that, like a tiger.
When was the last time you seen that?
In 35 years,
okay,
I don't know.
If you don't think the Hulk stands up to the test of time, watch that episode and you're going to be like, shit, this was good stuff.
All right, so, but I remember when the Hulk fought a bear, or was it Captain Marvel, and it was a guy in a bear suit?
That was the Hulk.
And he threw it. But the only thing is you'd watch it, and it seemed to be the same show. The only time I got excited was when the Hulk went to New York City. We were talking about the Hulk Takes Manhattan before the recording stopped. That was my favorite episode because here's what I was thinking. Marvel Comics are in New York.
Yep.
That's where all the superheroes live. The fact that the Hulk was going to be in New York, maybe there was going to be a crossover, and maybe there was somehow going to be other superheroes in it, maybe even Spider-Man, but alas,
No,
he was at an arcade in Times Square. They fought him. He got mad. He ran down the street, and that's the great old Times Square that I remember as a kid, not the one that's there nowadays, that had your sex shops, your triple X-rated movies, all kind of disease-looking.
That was a great episode.
And he's running in the middle of Times Square wearing those slippers. And that was, I think, it's third season.
No, that was in the first season.
No, it was not.
Mitchell.
78?
Mitchell?
Yes.
The first season.
You have what? The whole series?
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me. Have you watched them all?
Yes. I watch them at least. You ready, Mitch? I at least watch them maybe once every 2 weeks.
All right. Wait, call now or the Power Cosmic to help John.
Dude, do you remember the Prometheus episode where that big rock was on the ground? Remember that?
I don't remember.
That went from
I remember when I...
And then he got caught halfway between transformations.
And they
thought he was like an alien.
Oh, yes. I do remember
that.
The
reason why I love that, because when I was a kid watching that, the army was actually fighting. In the freaking Hulk.
There was no General Ross. Was there General Ross?
No.
But the thing of it is about that, then they had, again, cartoons. There was a Hulk cartoon in the late 70s. Am I remembering this correctly?
Early 80s, Mitchell.
Early 80s.
It was a knockoff of... It was
Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends. This was a Hulk and his buddies.
Yeah, it was a coincide. No, it wasn't Hulk and his buddies, but it was coincided with that, Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends.
I don't know. But all I know is I'd watch the Hulk show.
82, Mitchell.
I started getting worn out by the third season because it just kept to be the same thing again and again and again. It went 5 years.
Yeah, but see, the reason why me and you are not seeing eye to eye in this is you were a lot older than me.
Yeah,
so you
I was,
saw it
yeah.
differently. I got into the Hulk.
Yeah, that, if I was 7 or 8, I'd be into it. I was 13, 14 in 1980, 81. So that's when the show was getting ready to go off the air, right?
Right, yeah. And see, people don't realize how big the Hulk was. He was
a
phenomenon.
It was huge.
So I was part of that, in love with
I
the Hulk.
I remember...
All his toys and all that
stuff. Remember we weren't getting a good TV signal. My dad and I got in a car. We drove to Radio Shack. It was Friday afternoon. I was freaking out because at 8 o'clock on Friday is when the Hulk started.
8 o'clock.
And I remember my dad telling the guy we were buying a set of rabbit ears, like an antenna you'd hook up to your TV. He's like, yeah, we got to hurry up. My son's got to see the Hulk at 8 o'clock. And I was like, yeah. And I literally, my dad went home. He put the copper wire, hooked up the TV, turned the little knob, got a good signal on it. Yeah. And I watched the Hulk. I was freaking out, though. I was like, oh, my God, Dad, we might miss the Hulk. Because there was no DVRs or VCRs or any of that stuff.
No way.
But the Hulk went off the air. And then he came back in a series of TV movies where he finally got to meet superheroes from the Marvel Universe. And I believe the very first one, correct me if I'm wrong, is Thor.
Yes, it was.
Oh, my God. And it was not Chris Hemsworth by any shot.
But see, what's funny, it was Rex Kramer. Well, No.
He was on a kid's show. My kids were watching.
Now he's on a kid's show.
Yeah. Well, it's off the air now. But
Eric Kramer is his name.
Eric Kramer. My kids were watching the show on the Disney Channel, and I kept staring at the dad going, he's bald. And I go, who is that guy? And then I said, oh, no.
That's Thor.
And it was not the Thor we think of. It was a little wimpy guy. It was Donna Blake.
Yeah.
And the Bruce Banner knew him. They were buddies from school or something.
Yes. And so what happens is, he was climbing in the Mount Everest or something.
Yes.
And then he finds a secret tomb and it has the hammer.
The hammer.
But what
right.
is so funny about that is when he's showing him the hammer, yeah. Bill Bixby picks it up like picks
oh,
it up like nothing.
That's right. Oh, right. It's a hammer. Oh, he wasn't mighty.
But you could even tell it was like freaking.
Oh, I know, but there was none of that. He wasn't worthy nonsense. None of that was in there.
None of that.
Did they mention
and
Asgard?
He acted more like Hercules than he.
Oh, I know, because he was like, oh, look, a gnome or something. Wasn't he like that? Fight me, troll.
What was bad about that was...
Did he yell like the other guy?
Yeah. That was awful.
Oh,
awful.
No, he kept drinking beer.
Yeah, he was like Thor. I mean, he was like Hercules.
Well, what the funny thing was, did he exist at the same time as Don Blake at some point in the show?
The story was is that...
He would turn into him.
He was in that tomb because he was banished from Asgard. To serve penance.
Right.
And so basically he had to follow his orders. And so,
He was like the genie in the bottle type
right.
of thing.
Right, and then until he finished those tasks, then he would go back. So they were going to try to do a knockoff series.
Right.
And obviously it never happened.
No, it's like Perfect Strangers with my brother the Thor.
Exactly. Yeah. But what was so funny about that, when I was a kid and I was looking at the comic books, in the bullpen.
Yeah,
The bulletin, you could actually see the ad that there was going to be like Thor was going to appear on that.
Yeah.
And I was like, and they showed a Sal Buscema.
You were like, oh my God, like, that's my Thor. And then of course when you watch the reality
and then the next one was Daredevil.
The trial of
the Hulk.
With Rex Smith as Daredevil, and he wore this black suit, which is, you know, you knock it, but it was very similar to the one that John Romita Jr. draws in the very first Daredevil book. And if you watch the new Netflix show, which is phenomenal, he wears a black bodysuit with a black mask, which it looked a little bit like that.
And I'll tell you, the Hulk out from the first Hulk out from that when Bruce Banner's in jail is unbelievable, because you never see the Hulk, you just see Banner going nuts, and it was a dream.
And
but Banner, the Hulk actually kills. But here's something interesting in that dream:
inadvertently kills.
Yeah, no, because it was a dream. It was.
Oh,
a dream.
That's right. Yeah.
But what's great is on the jury is Stan Lee makes his
that,
first appearance.
Is that the first ever appearance by Stan the Man?
Yeah. And if anybody knows anything about this series, they'll know that Jack Kirby actually appeared in an episode.
No
way.
He
was at the end, and he was, while the person was saying their, he was an artist that
in the
draws.
Courtroom?
No. It wasn't in a courtroom. It was one of the episodes.
Like caricatures.
Yeah. But he was drawing, like, he worked for the police, and he was drawing.
Oh, a sketch artist.
A sketch artist. But
Jack Kirby was in the Hulk one
episode?
Yes,
but what's funny, he's not in the credits.
Oh, wait. Do you even remember the episode? I'm going to freeze frame that and try to find it.
I'm going to send you a picture. There's a picture of him drawing. So he's actually drawing. He's, you know, they're talking.
Right.
But
wow.
Stan Lee makes his first appearance in the Trial of the Hulk. And then the final one
was the death of the Incredible Hulk. Yes. Now, he dies at the end of that. He falls out of a helicopter.
Yes, it was a helicopter.
And you're like, why?
No, it was a plane.
Oh, yeah, why would that kill him?
The Russians were trying to escape.
Yeah, and he falls, and at the end, he's lying there on the ground, and he says those words,
Yasmin, I'm finally free.
And he died. And this was mid-'80s, 85.
Yeah. But
it was on NBC, too, which was not the original network that aired.
But the thought was they were going to bring back the rebirth.
I heard that there was plans of doing that, but Bixby got cancer and unfortunately passed away. 52, 53, very young, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
And then I heard from Nicholas Hammond, who played Spider-Man on the short-lived CBS series in the late 70s, there were plans at one point to make Spider-Man meet the Incredible Hulk.
Really?
Yes, I've heard that. If Hammond said that.
And then I have to agree.
But for some reason, they went south and they didn't do it. And that had G. Wood as J. Jonah Jameson. And they recast him as... they got Larry Tate from the old Bewitched show to be Jonah Jameson later on that show. But they had Glory Grant. They had Robbie Robertson from the I'm talking about the Spider-Man show.
Yeah.
They had a lot of the characters. There was an Aunt May referred to.
Stanley said...
On the phone, he talked to Aunt May. He never saw her, but he did speak to an Aunt May.
But Stanley said the death of that series was...
The bad effects?
No. Well, yeah, of course. But he just said, like, they weren't true to the Spider-Man, like, the character.
No,
like,
they weren't, no.
They changed up, and he wasn't as funny and stuff. And he said, like, so the whole essence of Spider-Man was missing.
Well, there was a great episode with the clone. He made a clone of himself.
What about when he fought those Chinese guys?
Yeah, the Chinese guys. There were some good highlights, but the rope thing killed me as a kid. And when they show him climbing up the side of a building, he's wearing this harness, and he's running up
there.
You even know the music?
Yeah, when they would do that. And that's when Wonder Woman was on the air, too.
Yeah, but I'm thinking those two shows were Marvel's first live action.
Foray into
live action. And there was a show that was called Exo-Man. That was basically Iron Man, and it was a guy named Peter Aykroyd, not Dan Aykroyd, but Peter Aykroyd, and he made a suit.
A horrible suit.
And he put himself in.
Looks like a Mr. Potato.
But it was like Iron Man, and I remember watching it going, this is Iron Man. Then we had the man from Atlantis, Patrick Duffy.
Who's that guy? Who's
Patrick Duffy.
Yeah,
he played Mark Harris, was the name of his character, and he was basically Aquaman. He had webbed fingers. Yes, and that. So basically, as a kid, you had all your Marvel characters. They were just not maybe called Tony Stark.
That was the Prince Namor?
That was your Prince Namor. Exo-Man was your Iron Man. You had Spider-Man. You had your Hulk. Eventually Thor. You could have, in a weird, warped, bizarre world, assemble the Avengers.
And you had Doctor Strange.
And you had, the Doctor Strange. I forgot about that TV movie. Very dark movie. Have you ever seen it?
I did, but I couldn't last long. And a lot of psychedelia's in there.
He's got the porn mustache, and he's talking to a giant penis. I'm not kidding. Go back and watch that. It's a giant, like, red demon penis thing, and Morgan Le Fay's in it. It was weird. It's very 70s druggy.
Psychedelic,
we'll call it that. Yeah, not like what was going on at Marvel.
Acid trees,
Yeah.
Trips.
Well, here we go. We were almost out of time on the third episode, and we went on a tangent on this one.
I'm going to tell you, before we leave, I think you should watch a few episodes again, and then you're going to understand how good Bill Bixby was.
I'm not saying Bill Bixby was bad. I'm just saying that... at its time, it was fantastic.
It still lives up to this day. That's why even the Sci-Fi Channel bought it.
Yeah.
Remember?
Universal.
It went into syndication
forever. Yeah, it did for years. Yeah. Along with the $6 Million Man. I tried to watch $6 Million Man, I told you, but it didn't hold up. It was so slow.
No, it did.
And boring.
I agree.
Only when he met Bigfoot did the show really kick in, when it got into science fiction. But before that, he was just like, you know, stopping a president's assassination, stuff.
It was too bank sophisticated, robbery, but not done. No, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
The Hulk was awesome because he was always on the run. You know, it was so many layers to it.
Before we sign up, did you catch Bill Bixby's cameo in the modern Marvel movies?
Yes, when he was the courtship of Eddie Father, remember?
It was on the TV, and Edward Norton was watching TV.
Yeah.
And the Incredible Hulk, the second Hulk movie, if you will, that they don't count the first Ang Lee Hulk movie. They dismiss that one.
Right.
But the Marvel Universe one, where you have General Thunderbolt Ross, played by William Hurt, and they refer to where he destroys Harlem, the abominations in it. But Bill Bixby is is on TV and Eddie's father. So
and they play the Lonely Man theme.
Oh, that's one of the greatest TV themes ever. Dun, 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 dun.
I'm telling you, Mitchell. Dun, Mitchell, it's dun, like your high school years.
It was so sad, wasn't it?
And that's why I'm saying, Mitch, watch another episode. Everybody out there, try to watch an episode, and I'm telling you, it's still going to hold up to the test of time.
All right, before we sign off real quick, John, as always, what is your favorite episode of the Incredible Hulk TV show? Quick.
The first, the two-parter.
And for me, I'm going to have to say it's the one where he went to New York, as we said. The Hulk takes Manhattan.
And the pilot episode is phenomenal.
Susan Silverman, what a babe.
Unbelievable. But everything. Watch that. Good stuff.
All right, we're signing off. Everybody, this has been Mitch Halleck and John Cimino for the Power Cosmic Podcast. We're sweating our nuts off in a hot car recording this right now. So until next time, John, what do they do? Keep the faith, baby. Enough said.
That was good. One more, Mitchie.
No, I gotta go. I can't do one.
It's time. Hey, you say you want Comic-Con fun and a place to have it? Well, look no further than the Mohegan Sun this August 19th to the 21st. That's right, the Terrific Comic-Con. Terrific-Con is hitting the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. You'll see actors from your favorite shows like The Walking Dead, Arrow, Comic Book Men, and Star Trek. Plus, there'll be some fun on Saturday night when Kevin Smith, Silent Bob himself, joins the fun at the Mohegan Sun. There'll be comics, cosplay, and a whole lot more. Plus, don't forget, meet your favorite comic book artists and writers at Terrific Con. There'll be Dan Slott, Mark Bagley, Paul Levitz, Neil Adams, Keith Giffen, and more than 50 of your favorite comic book artists and writers from Marvel and DC. That's Terrific Con, Connecticut's Terrific Comic Con, this August 19th to the 21st. Tickets on sale right now. For more information, visit us at terrificcon.com. It's terrific!